coalition forces and begin striking selected targets of military importance.
It would be a decision which could only be taken once.
There's no argument over the choice between peace and war.
Unconfirmed reports about Gaddafi being captured.
This morning, I want to talk about the future of Europe.
Burning Point.
Hello and welcome to the show with me, Екатерина Кудашкина. Information war against Russia is gaining momentum. Headlines are getting more and more scary. For instance, Biden warns Russia faces isolation, or US troops will remain in Poland and the Baltic states through 2015 to deter Russian aggression, or US Army may station tanks in Eastern Europe. So the question is it still an information war, or a war on nerves, or does it have more real substance to it? And this is something we are discussing with our guest speaker, Anna Vandensky, political analyst and contributor to the EU Reporter in Brussels.
Well, I think, first of all, there should be a clear picture that there is a game of nerves. So the point is that there is a certain build-up to get onto nerves of Russian leadership and to make them change their attitude. So there is clarity that Washington will not engage into a military campaign. Why? Because they had already very negative experience, for example, in Iraq, because after tens of billions spent on creation of Iraqi armed forces, today we see that the corruption is the biggest enemy of American plans, and Iraq is a dysfunctional democracy. So if they made it in 2003 with huge plans, now today they are very modest and they're puzzled because they don't know where to go further. If they help with weaponry to Iraqi military, they find that these arms are in the hands of ISIL. And that is a huge problem because there is a black market of weapons, for example, and there is a sales and are internationally also. It's very well known that, for example, training of military is also a very tricky issue because even if right from the start they said that we would send advisors, we would send trainers. Finally, for example, countries like Norway, they quit the projects in Iraq. Why? Because it came that they are gangsters and bandits who were trained and who used the skills for completely criminal activities. So that in Ukraine, for example, there is private sector. They are fascists there. They're open fascists. So it's very complicated task to train Ukrainian army, to supply it with weaponry, and to reach the purpose, because what Americans had in the past is not very encouraging. So basically, there is no other solution than a political solution of Ukrainian crisis. That's clear. But there is a certain build-up, and it's a build-up which is with purpose of scaring the opponent. So I wouldn't consider it to be a serious preparation for the war because Europe is not interested in wars. Already there are conflicts in Europe that are not resolved. And, for example, there's about 40 years, more than 40 years, 50 years of a Cyprus problem. And there is still Kosovo that is not recognized by many of the EU member states. So Europe has enough of problems. So they're not looking for more. But, of course, now they are so far in Ukraine that they have to resolve something. And if today you read newspapers, then you see that, for example, Federalist solution is back on the table and it's the incumbent our president of European Union Council, Mr. Van Rompuy, who said that before departing, because he said that it's most probably a real tangible solution, a federal Ukraine.
So just to sum it up, do I get you right that you believe that the US is not prepared for direct military confrontation with Russia, and it is rather unlikely that it's going to enter the indirect military confrontation through various kinds of proxy warfare. Is my understanding correct?
Well, there are two different things. Of course, the war in there has been help to our Ukrainian government, as we see now, for example, Dalia Grybauskaite confirmed and President Poroshenko confirmed that they would have military cooperation. There would be some aid. There were no precisions if it would be non-lethal or lethal weapon. But also there is a lot of information in media, for example, about the weaponry that comes from former Eastern Bloc countries, because when they reformed their army, they changed equipment, they probably sent it to Ukraine armed forces. So, I mean, that there was already something in this field, because experts in military, they were saying, they were pointing to some activities. But I don't think that this will be more than that. And most probably it will be even less, because the biggest problem the American global plans have now, the biggest challenge is Islamic State. It's not Russia, it's not Ukraine. So, I mean, that they have to solve Ukrainian problem, because it can't become similar to Cyprus. It can go on for decades because it will ruin Europe. And Europe is the biggest economic partner of the United States. So if they would like to have TTIP, if they would like to have free trade agreement with Europe, they need prosperous Europe. And nothing exhausts a state, any state, as a military campaign, because they are terribly expensive. So in that sense, there can't be a confrontation with Russia. There can't be a confrontation, large-scale confrontation in Ukraine. I think that military build-up is sort of backup of political negotiations, because the sides in this process would like to show their strength to add something, to add something tangible to their position during political talks.
Anna, thank you so much. And just to remind you, our guest speaker was Anna Vandensky, political analyst and contributor to the EU Reporter in Brussels. This is Burning Point. We're discussing the war of nerves against Russia over Ukraine. Now, it would be fair to observe that the whole information offensive was a prelude to another visit by a top-ranking U.S. official to Ukraine. A week after the U.S. Vice President Joe Biden's visit to Kyiv, General Philip Breedlove, who's both the head of the U.S. European Command and NATO's top military commander, came to Ukraine for talks with senior political and military leaders in his U.S. capacity, Reuters stressed. So we are now joined by our next guest speaker, Christoph Herstel, German political analyst and publicist.
If Mr. Breedlove is going to Ukraine, that doesn't mean much in terms of discussions. That means that he is getting himself a picture of what Ukraine needs for war. And he's a military guy, so he's interested not in peace talks in Minsk or things like that, or ways to reconciliate alienated people. No, he's there to check out what kind of, you know, supplies Ukraine would need from NATO partners, from the U.S., in order to perform against a potential Russian threat. This is what these people are talking about. The reason is that they have an escalation in mind. They want to escalate the situation. This is my best guess from what I see. The situation in eastern and southern Ukraine, and try to draw Russian forces into this conflict. And they are preparing for that. They're preparing for the further aggression against the people in eastern and southern Ukraine. And then they're at the same time preparing to, you know, beef up the Ukrainian military. And what we have, in fact, is something that they do it under the threshold of officialdom. If we look at news that there are, you know, transfers of cash to Ukrainian military people, and if we understand the U.S. policy of, you know, secretly supplying, secretly furnishing mercenaries from, you know, security companies and things like that, then we do understand that the full range of, you know, covert action plus a little diplomatic overt action, which can be seen and can be reported by the media, such a visit by Mr. Breedlove, for example, that is exactly the ensemble, the double strategy, so to say, the U.S. has in Ukraine, an open one and a covered one, and all of them, both the open and the covered one, do not mean anything good for peace, for reconciliation in Ukraine and in Europe. In this case, in this huge range, like a nuclear war, intercontinental warfare, things like that, this is nothing that can be hidden so easily. Russia is known to have behind it a build-up in these forces. This is a given fact. And due to the other fact that the U.S. had a broad supremacy in the past, and Russia fell world safer by overcoming this imbalance here.
Our guest speaker is Christoph Herstel, German political analyst and publicist.
Burning Point.
Now, what we have very clearly is an aggressive tone against Russia and aggression on the ground against Russian people in Ukraine, Russian-speaking people, sympathizers of Russia in Ukraine. And that is continuing, that is aggravating. Very clearly, Kiev government has shown that they do not, on humanitarian issues, care for this population. So they're left widely to themselves and to Russian aid convoys, which are then again attacked by Kiev, attacked verbally, fortunately, in the past. We'll never forget the first convoy where we had attacks on the ground right to the hour when the convoy reached Lugansk finally. So this has fortunately stopped. But politically, the situation is still adverse. So the small theater is not okay, and the big theater, the intercontinental theater, build-up of arms, that is also not okay. NATO is asking all partners to increase their military build-up. Russia is doing a military build-up from a very low level. So this is the situation we have, and this is all due to an unimpeded and continuing aggression eastwards from Middle Eastern Europe to the Russian border. We know what that in Estonia they are training war against a big country attacking. This is a scenario addressing, in fact, a potential, you know, NATO perceived Russian attack on Estonia. But this is, of course, nothing real. Russia has no plans for that. It doesn't want to do that. That is very clearly to be seen anywhere. But, in fact, NATO is doing a double-pronged policy, doing both propaganda and military preparation at the same time. And in this regard, we have to judge this visit of General Breedlove.
So, do I get it right that this scenario is not exactly new?
That is correct. We must be aware and very careful where a possible false flag scenario could take in. We must be aware that maybe because there's an equality in the types of weapons, the types of tanks, that, you know, some tank groups will roll through eastern and southern Ukraine, and Washington again will shout, "Who? This is Russian troops." But in fact, you know, it's just Ukrainian troops running in Russian gear and using this as a pretext to start up NATO measures to, so to say, defend Ukraine against this Russian attack, perceived Russian attack, that is. So this is one of these potential false flag operations I can think of, but all other types, of course, are possible. And we look at Syria and how this chemical weapons attack was faked and then led to terrible consequences. This is all in the open. The U.S. is doing these kinds of things. They're supporting it. They have opened the gates for IS to lay hands on chemical weapons and to lay hands on potential even supplies of chemical weapons from outside. All this is there already in the Middle East. So why not in Ukraine?
So this is a perfect strategy for the destruction not only of Russia but of Europe. So isn't it really time for the European community to stand up against that?
Yeah, since long. Since, in fact, the coup d'etat in February this year, it would have been time for the Europeans to say to their Washington friends, okay, now it's enough. We know what you can do. We are deeply, you know, respective of all your power, but please don't play your games in Europe. So this would have been one way. They have not done that. We know that the European leaderships are utterly dependent from Washington. This is Washington's policy since many years. In fact, since our German Chancellor Schröder and French President Jacques Chirac stood up against the illegal Iraq invasion in 2003, Washington has, you know, a secret oath of all the officials that that will never happen again. Any kind of, you know, new alignment of something like Paris, Berlin, and Moscow and Beijing against this kind of American procedures. So they have made sure that this is not going to be a repeater, and now they are trying Ukraine. And as I see it, Germany is, of course, trying to stop the most dangerous things, but in fact, they are not blocking America, and that is very dangerous.
Mr. Herstel, thank you very much. And just to remind you, this time our guest speaker was Christoph Herstel, German political analyst and publicist. Well, and now we end this edition of Burning Point, brought to you by me, Ekaterina Kudoshkina. Thank you so much for staying with us. Goodbye, and take care.